Mordred creeps as close as he dares, and then crouches in the cold and windy dark, miserable and enjoying his misery, dreaming his outside dreams. Inside, beyond the blanket, is light. Let them have it, if they like. For now, let there be light. Eventually, he, Mordred, will put it out. And in the darkness, he will have his pleasure. Chapter 8. Notes from the Gingerbread House. 1. Eddie looked at the others. Jake and Roland were sitting on the sleeping bags which had been left for them. Oi lay curled up at Jake's feet. Susanna was parked comfortably on the seat of her cruising trike. Eddie nodded, satisfied, and pushed the tape recorder's play button. The reels spun. There was silence. They spun. And silence. Then, after clearing his throat, Ted Brodigan began to speak. They listened for over 4 hours, Eddie replacing each empty reel with the next full one, not bothering to rewind. No one suggested they stop, certainly not Roland, who listened with silent fascination even when his hip began to throb again. Roland thought he understood more now. Certainly, he knew they had a real chance to stop what was happening in the compound below them. The knowledge frightened him because their chances of success were slim. The feeling of Kashum made that clear, and one did not really understand the stakes until one glimpsed the goddess in her white robe, the bitch goddess whose sleeve fell back to reveal her comely white arm as she beckoned, "Come to me, run to me. Yes, it's possible. You may gain your goal. You may win, so run to me. Give me your whole heart, and if I break it, if one of you falls short, falls into the pit of Kaffa, the place your new friends call hell, too bad for you.